For the past 5 Lord days, yes, we've been studying the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all the dead that will be raised when the Lord comes again. In our first sermon, we exposed theories and arguments of the infidels. And then in our second sermon, we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, the evidence which proved assuredly that Christ was resurrected. In our third sermon, we studied the essentialness of the resurrection of Christ, verses 12 through 19, and the effect of the resurrection of Christ, verses 20 through 28, and then the era taught on the baptism of the dead, verse 29. In our fourth sermon, we studied the example of Paul's life in view of the resurrection of all the dead, verses 30 through 33, and the exhortation of Paul in view of the resurrection of all the dead, verses 33 and 34. And last Lord's Day, we studied the examination of the means and the manner of the resurrection of all the dead and its explanation, verses 35 through 50. So, this morning we want to close out our study. The final sermon of the series will be the encouragement and the expectation of all the dead as they will be raised when the Lord comes again. Yes, in verses 51 through 58. And we'll continue that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, that is Preparing for Eternity. And we want to certainly be doing that, do we not? We better. Now, let's take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we come together in our Bible classes to study God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a good attitude, and that would be in spirit. But also, we need to go in the order of the pattern that God has given us in the New Testament. Thus, in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. We're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in doing that, we can set that up at your convenience. And, of course, if you have Bible questions, they're very much welcome. We appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, which has our bulletins and radio sermons there, it's www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get back to our study of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ and all the dead. So we're going to pick back up with verse 51. And let's study through 53 as we're looking at the encouragement of the resurrection. And this would be of all the dead. Verse 51 now. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So Paul, the inspired apostle, reveals the type of change at the resurrection of the dead, all the dead, on the great day of judgment. Now notice Job chapter 14, verse 14. As Job understood this, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Yes, that's right. Job understood that he would be changed on that great day of judgment. So the mystery that was not revealed previously is the changing from a physical body to a spiritual body. Those who are living at the time of the second coming, they will be changed without dying. But those that have died will come forth from the grave and also be changed. So that would include both saint and sinner. They will be given immortal bodies. Of course, the sinner that's unforgiven, yes, they will be cast into the lake of fire, hell. And their immortal bodies will not burn up. They will continue to suffer for eternity. What a horrible thought. Well, we should be wanting to do the will of God and please God because we love God, not because of just the fear of hell, but we certainly need to understand what would happen on the day of judgment if we're not prepared. We need to know that. Notice Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. It never ends. But the righteous into life eternal. That's not going to end either, but that's with God and all the saints, the angels, all the little babies who have been aborted, all the little children that have died before they reach the age of accountability, all those that are not held accountable, the mentally handicapped and so forth. We're going to be together. What a glorious day it will be for those who are prepared. Let's be sure we're preparing for eternity. But now notice verse 51 again. You see here, we shall not all sleep. That is referring to those who die faithfully in the Lord, in Christ. Of course, but we shall all be changed. Not all are going to be dead when the Lord comes again. There will be those living. Notice with me now 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 14 through 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that's those that died faithfully, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Where? With them in the clouds. Not on this earth. Jesus won't set foot on this earth. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, as we'll be delivered up into heaven. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. They are very comforting if we're prepared. So you see, this is not referring to souls sleeping. No, sir. But as with Lazarus feeling comfort and having consciousness when he was raised out of the tomb. Remember that? Yes, in John chapter 11. Paul assures that those who die faithfully in the Lord's church will have the victory over death. Now let's pick back up with verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Yes, verse 54, Paul here quotes Isaiah the prophet. Let's go to Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Now in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Well, death causes one to be buried, does it not? Yes. And thus the grave is said to have power. Well, Paul is referring to Hosea. Hosea 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. In other words, God will not change his mind. He will fulfill his purpose. We can be assured of that. So Hosea prophesied concerning the redeeming of God's people from captivity, just as Ezekiel did in chapter 37, the valley of the dry bones. It was full of dry bones, but it was going to be raised up. There would be a remnant that God would raise up. But the true significance here of death's destruction was not made clear until the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. And death's complete defeat will be realized when? In the last day. As the dead in the grave will be resurrected, all the dead will come forth. And you see here in verse 56, the sting of sin is death. Sin brought forth death to Adam and Eve. They died spiritually immediately when they sinned against God, and they died physically as time went on. Genesis 2:16 and 17. And we should understand there would be no sin without God's law. Look at 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That is God's law. We need to understand that. But let's go on in our study now. And this is the closing out of this hopefully very informative study for us all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also all the dead. And so we'll entitle this last section, verses 57 and 58, as the expectation of the resurrection of all the dead. Verse 57, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, here's the conclusion. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, in the Lord's church, in the church of Christ that Jesus purchased with his precious blood and died for. Yes, it's his body. Shouldn't it carry his name? Well, of course. And so we should give thanks to God for allowing His only begotten Son to die for us. And in order for Christ to be resurrected, He had to die. Yes, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way unto heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many ways are there to heaven? If we don't say one, we are badly mistaken and deceived. That's clear, is it not? From John 14:6. And notice John 3:16, a verse we all should know, the golden text of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He, what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's right. The love of God allowed the Word, the second person of the Godhead, to become flesh and die for us, not for His sins, but ours. And we need to appreciate that, respond to the gospel of Christ, to God's most graciousness, His marvelous grace, His amazing grace that allows us to be saved when we do not deserve it. No one can earn the death of Christ, but we must respond to God's grace by submitting to the gospel. Now, we will not be victorious over death because of man's philosophies. Colossians 2:8. We need to be aware of those philosophies. Nor will we be victorious over death because of man's so-called wisdom, the wisdom of the world. Study 1 Corinthians 1:18-31. Yes, we need to realize that's not going to get it. And nor will we be victorious over death because of some medical breakthrough. That's not going to get it either. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Stay with God's word and let us not be deceived. Satan has many workers to get us away from the truth, to take our minds off of heaven. Yes, we need to be alert and sober. Yes, because we have an adversary who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's as a roaring lion. So we better be alert. Now, we will be victorious over death by the results of our obedience to the gospel of Christ. We must emphasize that. Again, we will be victorious over death by the results of our obedience to the gospel of Christ. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 1:9-10. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began? The plan of redemption was in the mind of God from the very beginning. But now, yes, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Are we getting this? We need to understand it. Christ, by dying on the cross and shedding His precious blood in His death, that's able to give us, as we obey the gospel, the victory over sin. And as we continue to remain faithful, of course. Now let's go to Romans 6, 3 through 8. Most of the time we read Romans 6, 3 through 5 or 6. But let's go down to verse 8. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Jesus shed his blood in his death. He had already died when the soldier pierced his side, John chapter 19, 33 and 34. Now notice, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, as we've been studying, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's right. Do you see the importance of baptism for the remission of sins, giving us the opportunity to have our sins washed away by the blood, the precious blood of Christ? As we come up out of that watery grave, we're resurrected to a new life. Yes, because Christ resurrected from the tomb on the Lord's day, the third day. And thus, we're able to be resurrected from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And as we die faithfully in the Lord, we're going to be raised on the day of judgment. Yes. And have the victory while we wait in paradise for the Lord's coming. That's not going to be like those who are unprepared in Tartarus in the Hadean realm, awaiting the second coming. This is vital to our salvation. So by his resurrection from the dead, Christ is able to give his faithful followers the victory over death. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that's Bible. Yes. Paul reminds faithful Christians that since death does not end at all and we will be resurrected, we need to continue to labor in the Lord and expect the victory. Notice again, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, God, which give us that. We need to thank him for it. Verse 57, therefore, verse 58, as we close out our study, beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. Don't be wishy-washy and this going this way and that way. Be steadfast with roots, you know, down in the ground in a spiritual way, grounded in the truth, unmovable. Now, you're not going to be swayed by man's philosophies if we're heeding this. And then what? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You continue to be faithful as a laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Yes. Continue to do the will of God, no matter how many do not. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, where? In the Lord. That's in the Lord's church. Now, Paul had discussed being laborers together with God, working in the church earlier, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. That's what we're talking about. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Spiritual building. That's the church. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's never forget that. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, this is talking about converts. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. We're tested. Got to go through the fire. Burn off the impurities. That's the trials and tribulations, temptations, and so forth. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Those that we have encouraged to obey the gospel, worked with them, and taught from God's word what they're needing to do in order to become a Christian, but yet then later on they fall away. Well, that's what this is talking about. Yes, if any man's work shall be burned, you're going to, of course, suffer the loss of that. But you're not going to be burned. You're still saved as long as you remain faithful. But this is, a chapter to study here concerning laboring together with God. In 1 John 5, 4 and 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now this is important, isn't it? And notice in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's works of righteousness. That's not, meritorious works. You see, that's excluded, as Ephesians 2:8-9. No, that's not going to work, is it? But works of righteousness do follow us. Yes, as we go before God on the day of judgment, we'll have the victory if we remain faithful. If we died faithfully in the Lord, coming forth from paradise, we're going to be told, enter now into the joys of thy reward, thy good and faithful servant. We need to appreciate this study of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the resurrection of all the dead, and be ready for that great day. Have we obeyed the gospel? If not, we stand ready to assist you. Hearing the truth, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of one's sins, making the good confession, and then being baptized into the Lord's church. We thank you so much for listening today.